the name of the Lord. Amen. Shall we turn this morning to the fourth chapter of Romans? Romans 4. And let us begin with verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not only, or who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. We would continue these messages on the faith. And today we want to enlarge a little bit on the faith of Abraham. Verse 11, it is called the faith. Verse 12, referred to that faith. We have discovered that there is only one faith. And we have enlarged upon the faith of the Son of God, which of course is included in the entire scripture. Here we read of the faith of Abraham. Let us understand that the faith of the Son of God and the faith of Abraham are exactly the same thing. What we see in the message today is that Abraham becomes a beautiful pattern for all those who would follow the principles of the faith. I say the principles of the faith because there are many of them. The faith covers every area of our lives, and God has included the direction and instruction and principles for all of those areas of life in our experience. We find the beginning for Abraham, as well as all of the rest of us, in verse 8, you will notice, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is the question that must be settled in every life before a person goes anywhere with the Lord. And God settled that question. It's just that men do not always lay hold of it. Now, when he says here, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin, you turn that around, and God said this, gave the same message like this, that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so it is that this is the same faith which we have today, walking in these same steps as we're going to see here momentarily. God says, as we read here, that he indeed, Abraham, believed God, it was counted, or it was imputed to him for righteousness. That is really a declaration and a summation of Abraham's entire life. This statement, or the equivalent of it, is actually found four times in Scripture. And this is where I want to encourage our hearts. Every time a person believes God, it is counted to him for righteousness. You see, it's not the answer, it's not the manifestation Just because God may not answer a prayer the way we pray it does not mean that he hasn't heard, does not mean that faith wasn't present. You'll find those places all the way through the scripture. It's the belief itself. And that's all faith is, believing God. I often try to encourage people and caution them, don't put faith so far off that no one can reach it. All faith means is I believe God. And so Abraham believed God, and every time we do that, then we indeed have that righteousness attributed to our account. You will notice here in verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only. The circumcision would be a reference to the Jews. Or upon the uncircumcision, that's a reference to the Gentiles. And Paul is asking the question, is this provision, this blessing which we're offering, does it just apply to the Jew? He points out how that Abraham received this blessing and these promises, indeed the Abrahamic covenant, before he was circumcised. This is what makes the difference made at that time, perhaps so today. The big difference between Jew and Gentile is the law and circumcision. And so Paul is telling them that these glorious provisions of the faith apply beautifully to us Gentiles also. We are favored and we can have the same blessing as that which God indeed gave unto Abraham. And so we find that this is the way that God has provided for us, and that is through faith, even though we are indeed of the uncircumcision or of the Gentiles. That's because it is reckoned once again by faith. Skip down to verse 12. I want to notice Abraham's called the father of circumcision, and they boasted in that. But you will notice the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Abraham is a father of faith to all who believe God, to all who are a part of the faith, to all who enter in to these blessings, simply believing God by faith. I want to enlarge for a little while on the steps of Abraham, as we read here, who also walk in the steps of that faith. I emphasize again, that faith of Abraham is exactly the same faith of the Son of God that we have considered over these last few weeks. I also want to notice that God said this in Genesis 17:1, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. It is important that it is imperative that we understand the order of that verse. God leads it off by saying, I am God Almighty. He is telling us and Abraham, here's where the ability is, not with you, but with me. I am Almighty God. Because of that, I have that ability. And then he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. This is God's decree, and if there was not a way to get there, God would not have said it. And so let us understand as we go through some of these different steps that Abram went through, that we understand we can follow exactly the same path, and we can eventually be in the same glorious place. But this is what must be understood. Walk before me and be thou perfect comes one step at a time. It is not done all at once, as some people seem to think. Our lives in the faith are a process. They are progressive, as we would say. Let us turn back to the 11th chapter of Genesis and follow Abraham's experience. At this time, he was known as Abram. That means high father. Later on, God changed his name to Abraham, which more correctly fits his status of being father of a multitude. And that meaning that he is also our father, the father of these Gentiles who choose to walk in the same faith that he did. And so notice how Abram began here in these verses, chapter 11 and verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and he died in Haran. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Here is where Abram's relationship with God began. It was while he was yet in Ur of the Chaldees. If you check with Joshua 24, we find that he brings out clearly, Joshua does, that Abram was an idolater in that land. And so God spoke to him while he was yet in the land, as it says there in Joshua, on the other side of the flood, the other side of the river. He was not in Canaan land at that time. And so now we find out how he got there. And it's important to notice here in verse 1 of chapter 12, the Lord had spoken unto Abram. You see, Terah was not really the leader at all. God had spoken to Abram while he was yet in the land of the idolatrous land of the Chaldees. In verses 2 and 3 is the Abrahamic covenant, just a summation or an overall view of the Abrahamic covenant which God gave to Abraham at that time. This is what he spoke to him while he was still in Ur of the Chaldees, that is the land of idolatry. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Here is where we know this is the first time that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He showed that he believed God because he departed. This is what men do when they really believe what God says. They follow through on what he says. They do what he said. This man kept picked up, left everything that he had, everything that he knew. Scripture says in another place, went out not knowing whither he went, because he was simply walking by faith at the direction of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so it is so important for us to understand, we start in exactly the same place as Abram did. This is where Abram discovered, as we read there in Romans, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Instead of imputing sin to him, he imputed righteousness to him because, and only because, he believed God. And then as we know that because Abram departed. He acted on it. That was the beginning. That was the first step of faith that this man took. But of course, that is not where he stopped. I want to emphasize this over and over again in these messages on faith. It is a matter of constantly believing God one time right after another. Not just believing him at once, not just trusting God for one particular thing. It must become a way of life where that step after step is taken by faith. Abram's next step is taken in verse 7. And he's rewarded. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He left his land. He went into the land of Canaan. Then we read here, the Lord appeared unto him. And we see the next step of faith that he took. He builded an altar unto the Lord. He began to worship God. He left behind all of the idolatrous ways and worship that he had before. He built an altar and he worshiped God. That is not, again, just a one-time thing. It becomes indeed a way of life. But it is vitally important for you and I to understand. When we commit to this way of faith, when we commit to walking after the principles of the faith, we need to expect there are going to be tests. There are going to be adversities. Don't let anyone ever tell you that once you believe Christ, once you believe on Jesus, all your troubles are over, because they're not. Scripture is absolutely filled with those who had great trouble and adversity after they took a stand for the Lord. And it continues many times in our experience. And so you will notice as you go down to verse 10. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. That was not a step of faith. He went down. Egypt in Scripture is symbolic of the world. And there are very few places where God said specifically to go into Egypt. He told Jacob to at one particular time. That's a message all its own. But overall, God has counseled his people again and again. Do not go into Egypt. Translated once again, it means do not follow the ways of the world. But Abram did at this time because of that great famine. You know, after all of the years that I've been speaking and speaking to people and talking to them, I've never found one person that went into Egypt that didn't have an excuse for it. But God is not into excuses. God says you don't follow the ways of the world. Men have their reasoning and what motivates, well, it just had to be this. No, it didn't. You could believe God for another way. And so Abram went down into Egypt. But that's not all. Verse 13. While they were down there, Abram became very fearful. When people become fearful, many times they do turn to their own efforts and their own ingenuity. That's exactly what Abram did. So he said to Sarah, his wife, say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister. It may be well with me for thy sake. My soul shall live because of thee. Any husband is supposed to be the protector of his wife. Abram turned it around here. You need to protect me. You tell them you're my sister, because otherwise they're going to kill me and they'll take you anyway. And so this is the way out. God did not allow him to get by with that. It was certainly shown. Verse 17 says, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah. God still defended Sarah, even though Abram had certainly dropped his guard at this particular point. But this is again where I want to encourage our hearts. Sometimes people get the idea if they're saved, they ever make a mistake, they ever have a blunder, and this was a blunder on Abram's part, there's no doubt about that. That ever happens and it's all over, just as well forget it, and go back to the world, forget about everything. That's a lie of the devil. This is another beautiful principle of the way and walking in the path of Abraham, following the steps of Abraham. chapter 13, verse 1. Abram went up out of Egypt. That's the way back. Go back to where you were before you got into this difficulty. You can still go back, God says. And so we read that he went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. And so he was blessed and all of that. Skip down to verse 4. Unto the place where the altar which he had made. He simply resumed his steps. He came back to where he was. He came back to the altar of worship. And we notice very clearly here, Abram never built an altar in Egypt. You can't worship God in the world. You have to be out of the world, separated from the world, the ways of the world, in order to really render worship and build your altar unto the Lord. And so there's no record of an altar in Egypt. But here, Abram did exactly that. He went back to that same place. And you notice there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. I don't think we read that he actually called on the name of the Lord down in Egypt, even though God certainly delivered him. And that's true in our lives. We can make many blunders and mistakes. God is always watching. But here, Abram came back up out of Egypt, and he resumed his steps with the Lord. We're not going to continue with all of these steps that he took. They are interesting. They are marvelous. I just want to say this. Abram made this same mistake with Sarah again in the 20th chapter. There was another king, another man. God came to that man. His name was Abimelech. And God said, "You're but a dead man." Now, to put this into context, I am confident. You read those chapters in between. I am personally confident that God had healed Sarah at this time. And I am confident that Satan knew that. And I am confident that Satan would love to have switched the seed. And God would not allow it. God defends his own. And so Abram was reproved at that time. But both he and Sarah were absolutely protected to what God wanted to do. The remaining portion of this message, I want to go to the subject of the works of Abram. Let's go to the book of James. James, the second chapter. James makes a very clear and blatant statement in this verse. James 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And there are many in our world that believe James contradicted the Apostle Paul, that they are at odds one with the other, and they are not. This is why we must put Scripture in context as to what each writer and each speaker is talking about. First thing I want to notice is that many people apply this to salvation from hell, and so you have to have works to be delivered from hell. Why, he said it right here, that can faith save him? Has to have works in order for that to happen. But the first thing we would notice is this. My brethren, James is already writing to people that are saved. He is trying to encourage them. So what in the world can he mean when he says here, can faith save him? Is that not contradictory to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Once again, James and Paul are not contradictory one to another. The context of James' writing is that he is wanting to put things on display before men. You will notice what he says in this next verse. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed, be filled, notwithstanding you give not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? And James is saying, yes, you have all this faith, you boast all this faith, oh, God will meet the need in all of this. Yet when he wants to meet it through you, you don't do it. That's what James calls the works of faith. And they are very, very necessary in our lives as a testimony, as a witness, as a demonstration for others to follow in this same walk in the faith, or indeed the faith of Abraham. James uses another example to bring forth his point. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? The first thing I want to notice about that is by the time Abraham did this, he had been walking with God for at least 25 years before Isaac was even born. This takes place after that. The point is this. Abraham was not trying to escape hell by offering up his son. He was not trying, as we would say, to get to heaven. That's not what got him here. And so let us put these wonderful words into context, because we must apply them to our lives if we are going to have the same path and follow the same path, the same steps that Abraham did in his experience. And so, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac? Then he concludes in verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. This is the object of our lives today, is for faith to be made perfect in our experience. That did not happen right after he came out of Ur of the Chaldees and began to go into Canaan. It didn't happen when he built his altar. You see, this perfection is a result of a number of steps of faith which we must take. Now, I can tell you that since we're all still sitting here, none of us have taken that last step to perfection. But I like what the Apostle Paul tells us. Paul knew that at this particular point in his life, that he had not reached that place where he was ready for the marriage, so to speak. That is, for the church. He was not ready to put on his marriage garments. Notice what he says in Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Paul knew at this time in his life that he still had some steps of faith to take. When he wrote to Timothy just before he went home to be with the Lord, his message changed. He says, I am now ready to be offered. And I know that I've already won the crown. But that's not the message he gives here when he wrote to the Philippian believers. And so when he says, I follow after, it means message to us is this. Continue to take the steps until faith is perfected in our lives. Now notice further how James describes this, because he's not talking about simply getting to heaven and escaping hell by any stretch of the imagination. As we read here, verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works. That means when your works are a direct result of the faith that you have, James calls it the perfection of faith. By his works was faith made perfect. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That applied when he first came out, when he was first saved, when he was first delivered out of Ur of the Chaldees. It still applies here, because I say again, every time you and I believe God, regardless of what the situation or circumstance, every time we believe God, it's counted to our account for righteousness. But there is more. He believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It's the same way for every one of us. Initial faith makes us a child of God. Perfect faith makes us the friend of God. The friend of God means that we simply take our place as being in direct and close communication and fellowship, deep fellowship with God. And so our objective today must be, Paul said, I follow after. We too must follow Abraham in all of these steps of faith in order to reach this final goal of perfection. That's what God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. There are those that deny such a thing is possible. Scripture says it is. And so let us believe God until he finally makes that a reality in our own life.